Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Emma Mailman.
Emma Mailman's a little under the weather today, so you're not going to hear her too much. She's going to be pretty quiet in the background, but we're glad that she can at least join us. So today we have a fun podcast for you. This is our guest with us today. We've been trying to have join us for quite a while. He is extremely busy. He's a manufacturing champion all over the world doing all kinds of things. He's going to say, no, I'm not. I'm really not all over the world, but he is really busy. We would like to welcome Mike Tomasi from AccuRound. So welcome, Mike.
Hello, Haley. Thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. He is very busy. He's got Congress, right, Mike? We're in there with them at one point.
Actually going to DC in a couple of weeks for a fly-in. We'll be on the Hill. Pounding the pavement and looking for federal funds for workforce training.
Yes, I love it. We love that. So this is why we are a big fan of Mike and what he does and what he brings to the table for manufacturing. So we really thank you for doing that. So Mike, this is the first time for you on our podcast, and we always ask a icebreaker question. I never tell the guests what they are until they get in here and then we ask you the question. So it has nothing to do with manufacturing. It never does. Usually doesn't have much to do with work either. It's just a fun little way for us to ask you something to kind of get your, I like to use imagination as the word for it, to get that flowing, because we as adults don't seem to use that as often as we should. So my icebreaker question for today for you is, what bucket list item do you most want to check off in the next 6 months?
Ooh, in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Bucket list item do I want to check off?
Yeah.
Well, I am a big golfer.
Yeah.
And I play in a handful of tournaments. So my hope is to take some lessons, improve how I play, and win one of the member guest tournaments this year.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. Yeah. Do you travel around a lot and play a lot of golf all over?
A little bit. I took my first trip actually to golf in Ireland in September, and it was so much fun that I'm planning another one in 2023. So yes.
That's awesome.
I've become an addict and I enjoy it. And I'm, you know, in the theme of continuous improvement, I think I should be able to improve my game, and I'll take lessons and hopefully do that.
That's awesome. Have you always golfed, Mike, or is it just something that you picked up later on?
No, I started when I was a teenager. I was playing a lot of golf, shooting 80, 81, 82 all day long. Then marriage, kids, and work came along. And for about 30 years or so, I didn't play a lot of golf. So kind of trying to get back into it now that we're past the kids, are out of the house, and work is great. So a little more time to golf, a little more
That's
me
awesome.
Time.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. Well, good for you. So we're going to jump in and we kind of want, because we don't get a chance. We have had Diane on with us in the past, and she was actually one of our very first podcast guests. That was when we went into, I call it the COVID era, is what we like to title that here. And we did speak a little bit about what was happening in that time frame. Obviously a lot's changed since then, but we would like for you to give us a little bit of background about AccuRounds. You know, what do you guys do? How did it come to be? Because I think that story is really, it's really interesting. And it's very unique that not a lot of people have a story like that.
Sure. So we are a second generation family business. My father started the company in 1976, he came over from Italy when he was 17 years old. So in a sense, lived the true American dream, right? Came over on the boat, started working at Martin Yeti's in the North End and slicing cold cuts, and found a liking to seamless grinding and grew what now is two successful businesses. So, you know, I've been involved pretty much right from college. I got an engineering degree, then an MBA, and started sweeping the floors, packing parts, working on machines. The one thing my father never let me do was drive the van to deliver parts. I don't know why, but he said there wasn't much value in that. So we do contract precision machining. We are located in Avon, Massachusetts. My father actually bought a company in 76 at Canton, moved it to Avon in 79. We've been there ever since. Put an addition on the building 8 years ago. We now sit in 45,000 square feet. So we make all high-end mechanical components, shafts, pins, valves for medical, defense, aerospace, semiconductor, oil, gas. Robotics is a burgeoning industry for us right now. So anything that's getting really tight tolerance, we actually machine and grind parts down into the millionths of an inch. Typically 2/10, 5/10 of a 1/1000th of an inch are tolerances we deal with. All types of materials, everything other than glass and ceramic, we will machine. And we have a lot of supply chain activity, which is a big concern these days as we read the papers and hear the news. So there are challenges there getting material in and dealing with other supply chain issues. But we have continued to grow. We are currently 82 people strong, and we have, I think, another team member starting next week.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. And it, you saying, you know, about your team member, that really is the whole reason, you know, you posted something that was posted by AccuRounds. This was a couple of weeks ago. And when you put that post on there, it really, it got our wheel spinning on having you be a part of this and joining us, because of, you have a very unique situation in how you are with your culture, I would say, at AccuRounds. And in the post, you had posted something about Ricky, which we can talk about that post a little bit, because I think that itself is also a really cool story. And as we're starting to kind of trend into a more, I call it a usuality today, and than what we have in a while, you know, the manufacturers are still kind of struggling with pipeline. And so if you tell us the story about Ricky, I think this might help some manufacturers see a different perspective on how to help their workforce, or we call it the pipeline, and how to, what we say, retain almost that workforce in their manufacturing facility. So give us the story about Ricky.
Sure. So as I mentioned, my father bought a company in 1976, and Ricky actually worked at that company when my father purchased it. Ricky is deaf and mute. He is in his mid-70s right now. He works a couple days a week, and he has been an absolute pleasure to have at our facility from day one. As difficult it is for him to communicate, we do communicate via sign language, and he has his pen and pad of paper ready to go to write questions all day long. But he's very engaged. He's always working. He's just fun to have around, and people at our company have actually made the effort to learn sign language to be able to communicate with him. So, wow. You know, I think I might have mentioned in the post how he's kind of taught us, right, in a strange way. You know, everything is about diversity, equity, and inclusion today, and that's very important for us as well. And, you know, we had it going way back in the 70s with Ricky, and, you know, we've included him in everything. He's just a real treat. And another side note about Ricky, he didn't show up for work one day, and his sister didn't let us know, and he didn't have a scheduled day off, which was very unusual. Mm-hmm. We contacted his sister. His sister went to his home, and he had a medical issue. And he basically said, his sister told us that if we hadn't taken the initiative to inquire early on where Ricky was that day, mm-hmm. he might not have survived the medical issue.
Oh, wow.
So the care, and I think that came from Rebecca, our office administrator. You know, Ricky isn't here. You know, anybody know anything? And, you know, we made that effort. So he's made certainly a huge impact on our team. And we're thrilled that he still wants to come around. We really are his family. in a true sense of the word. And that's why he still wants to come to work, and he can work as long as he wants to work.
Yeah. I think the key word in there, Mike, what we hear when you say family, and that's such, it's so important because it's not just Ricky, it's everybody else that's a part of your organization. We saw it when we were there a couple of weeks ago, and everybody that is in there, and we went through a tour and we got to see what was going on, and they showed us, you know, the pride that just exudes from them and how they speak of you in the environment and the opportunities that you give them every day. And it's not just a job for them. You know, it really is an important part of their lives and the value add that they get from that every single day. And I think that's that culture. Is that something that, you know, was that something you saw from the beginning that you needed to do and you thought this is really going to make that impact? Or is that, you know, something that you kind of, you have to adjust over time as well?
You know, it really, it's kind of part of the experience and the growth as you move on in your career. You know, the company was founded on three core values: teamwork, integrity, and quality. And that really came from my dad. You know, you don't vote on core values, right? It comes from ownership and what they expect the company to perform at. And as we grew in 1995, my brother at the time and I sat down and looked at where we were at and saw the winds of change and realized, you know what, if we don't change the culture of our company, we're going to be out of business in 5 years. Because it really, it worked until that point. And it was kind of top down. It was leader follower. Mm-hmm. But we saw the winds of change. So we really ramped up. At that point, it was mission, vision, values. Today, it's core purpose, core values. So we took the word teamwork and made it team first. Integrity became trust. Quality became excellence. Just more hierarching, all-encompassing words. And then through our lean efforts, we adopted the core value initiative. Mm-hmm. And then about 10 years ago, I heard a speaker implore CEOs to adopt the core value of gratitude. And that really resonated with me. And I thought we could use that in our day-to-day conversation. So we now have five core values. The really neat thing is we have a pretty cool acronym, GET IT. We didn't start with GET IT. And that's why I like to tell the story. Right. But gratitude, excellence, team first, initiative, and trust. And we truly utilize those core values, and we have guiding principles, behaviors underneath those core values. That means the most to me. If I can coach our team and have our team learn, understand, and really deliver on those core values on a daily basis, which nobody's perfect. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to achieve perfection, but we have what we call the path to perfection. Mm-hmm. And our core purpose is to be the defining standard for advanced manufacturing. So we want to really set the stage. So having team members that really want to strive to be the best in those five areas and those five core values, that's what makes our team great. And, you know, obviously moving down that road, down that path, mm-hmm. is really important to us. And my job is to provide opportunity for every person that works at our company, you know, mm-hmm. provide them the opportunity to grow. Yeah, it's financial, but it's also more than that. As we know, it's very difficult to find talent today. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to differentiate yourself? How are you going to create an employer of choice environment? You know, I've talked across the country at different conferences and meetings and talked about culture. And I've kind of evolved my presentation the last 4 or 5 years to incorporate more corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have solar on the roof. We have a gym. We used to just have a safety team. We have a safety, health, and wellness team. As you know, we purchased mm-hmm. a freight farm, a 40x10x10 freight container that we're about to fit up. It got delivered during December. Now it's warming up. We're going to get in there, get it fitted up. It's a 24/7, 365 farm. And we're going to be able to produce, you know, anything that can go into a salad, from lettuce to vegetables. And we're going to, you know, utilize that for our team. It's a benefit.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes into that. So we started down our lean journey at that time. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing lean for 23 years, 22 years?
Wow.
Like, you know, 27 years.
Wow.
And every day it still feels like day one.
Yeah.
So the last point I'll make is when you go down that lean journey and when you look at culture and sometimes we started out, it was what's in it for me, or why should I change it? Why should I adopt it? Why do I want to learn?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's for improvement. It's a matter of survival. It's to stay in business. And we have a kind of a gain sharing program that's wrapped around continuous improvement. And I mentioned this because 2 weeks ago, we paid our largest bonus ever. And to me, it was it's the best day of the year.
Yeah.
Bonus day comes out because people get checks that are bigger than any check they've ever received.
Wow.
And if we're able to be successful and share that success with our team, that's just it's icing on the cake.
Yeah.
For us. And that was an exciting day.
Oh, that's so cool. That's such a great, and it's such a great feeling too. And it's so reciprocated back and forth between you and with them and this, the whole organization. So hopefully a lot of manufacturers are hearing what you're saying, and, you know, it really is the investing that you're putting into them just as much as they're investing back in you. And like you're saying, it is a lot of different things, and it might be different for everybody as well, right? There might be some things that may work with one organization that may not work with another. It's just depending on you and your team and what you can make work. And maybe, you know, it's something, if you have to start small, maybe you start small. It just really, you got to find your way. If you could give 3 pointers to manufacturers out there looking to develop their workforce, what would they be?
So the first thing that I'd mention is having a robust orientation/integration program. So when you hire an individual, what's their first hour, first day, first week, first month like? Do you have a mentor? Not they're the person they're reporting to, but somebody that they can just check in with. How's it going? Anything you need? But having a robust program. So we went through, Diane actually, and 2 other team members went through a training program, I believe, through MSMEP on project management. And the project they chose was orientation. So we really ramped up our focus on integrating an individual, making sure they feel comfortable and understand kind of the ins and outs of how things work at AccuRounds. Second, invest in your team, right? Train, upskill. It's constant. About 3 years ago, we launched what we call All You, AccuRounds Lifelong Learning University. And we're just in the process of devoting a full-time coordinator role to coordinate all that activity. So what that simply means is we want a learning environment. We want everybody in the company to have at least 1 and maybe 2 or 3 objectives to learn. And yeah, we want it to be kind of job related for the most part, but really if you're going to go read a cookbook, because you know what, it's going to stimulate your mind, you're going to learn, and if you have that mindset, you're going to bring that to work.
Yeah.
And that's really what we want. Mm-hmm. And lastly, for manufacturers in particular, but it can be for other industries, you know, adopt some level of lean. To me, lean, continuous improvement, that, again, it's a matter of survival. People ask us why we make this concerted effort to improve every day. Well, if you're not improving, you're going backwards and you're going to be out of business, especially in today's challenging environment. Mm-hmm. So integration, training, and lean.
Yeah, I love it. It's funny you said that. We had a conversation on Monday with a gentleman from a pretty advanced organization that will be a part of one of our events in May. And he said the exact same things. If you are not involved in that and you're not moving forward, you are going to get left behind. So he strongly suggested that. So kind of switching gears, when we talk about, you know, I think of you as a manufacturing champion and an innovator with how you use technology kind of interchangeably with your workforce. Why is it important that you have that today at AccuRounds and in the world of today? Because we've seen it. We've been very fortunate to be a part of it. We went into the room where I want to say, like, the only word that comes to mind for me is like a micrometer, but like souped up, you know, like big machine that just down to the, I mean, millifraction, you know, of a size. So why is that important in today's world? Because, I mean, we do say you need to step up.
Well, you need to compete and you need to provide value at a price. And in order to do that today, you need technology to help lever you up. So the demographics, regardless of what industry, and manufacturing and any other industry, are not good when it comes to the people entering the workforce for the next decade plus. So how are you going to be able to grow if you can't find all the people you may need? Well, you need to take technology, put it in place of the more mundane, repetitive tasks that allows your team members to be upskilled, to be more valuable to the company, and to have higher earning power. So we've been able to purchase at a pretty high level, not only CNC machines, but as you mentioned, the quality equipment that takes what a person used to do by hand, a quality assurance technician with micrometers and calipers and writing them on a piece of paper. Now you load it into a machine, press a button, and in 10 seconds, you get 40 dimensions, all captured electronically.
Yeah.
Now you have all this data to analyze. So, you know, our industry is changing pretty rapidly. It's very exciting.
Right.
It's very challenging to determine, okay, what's the right fit for you?
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be investing technology at some level. We bought a turnkey machine about 4 years ago that has a robot arm integrated with it.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just purchased our first cobot a couple of weeks ago. So it's going to be kind of a pick and place off a machine. So it's going to take a repetitive task. It's going to free up an individual so he can run not only that machine, but he can run one or two other machines.
Right.
And if this plays well, we can end up getting four or five different cobots. So, and I've been wanting to buy a cobot for, I don't know, 5-6 years because it looks really cool, but we really haven't found the exact use for it. So to your point, the timing needs to be right. And your team needs to be ready for it. And you also need to educate your team too, because technology can be scary because people need to learn it. And they also think that, you know, they might be replaced by technology, but, you know, a commitment we've made, we're not going to take a robot or a cobot and get rid of an individual. That'll never happen. We're not going to improve processes with lean and downsize. No, it's going to allow us to grow and do more work and improve flow and improve our performance in service to our customers.
Yeah, if that is the one thing that anybody takes away from this moment, is that it's exactly that. It does not take away people at all. You need the people to be a part of it, and it does allow you to grow. They do see that is probably the biggest question that we get, is that I'm going to lose my people and they're going to leave, and they don't realize that the potential that it does, the doors that it opens up for people to learn and to grow. And like you said, you grow as an organization and what you can do more of. So yeah, if anybody, you gotta take that away from it. So that's a huge thing. We work with that a lot. So,
you know, in a strange way, Haley, if you're not investing in technology, you're not giving your team members the opportunity to learn and grow. So it's really a negative, because if you have the right team members, then they're going to want that.
Yeah.
Versus leaving to go to a company that is integrating technology into their processes.
Yeah, that is a great, great point. So where do you see manufacturing going, Mike?
Well, I think we're in a really golden era of advanced manufacturing. Because of this new technology, I think we're going to be able to attract talent at a level that we've never been able to attract it in the past. You know, I've mentioned this before, gamers, for example.
Yeah.
Gamers could transition into advanced manufacturing at a unique level today because of all this technology, all the computer, all the programming, all the data analytics, all of those things are attractive to those types of individuals.
Yeah.
So what's important for, you know, our state, our country, is to get the message out on what career opportunities exist today that may not have even existed a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So whether it was in the past, 3D printing, robotics, automation, big data, mm-hmm. Machine monitoring, now is evolving into augmented reality, virtual reality, all that artificial intelligence that's just starting to enter into our industry. You know, we don't even know what those jobs in the future are going to be. You know, we just started advertising for a role called systems integrator. Now, we're hoping to find an individual that's going to be able to take not only the hardware technology, but the software packages and marry that up. For example, we have a quality software program that can connect to some of the quality hardware tools you saw, and it can automatically take the data, populate SPC charts, do real-time analysis that's just going to speed up how we interact with our equipment, our processes, our team members, and the information is going to be dynamic. So, you know, those are exciting advances and the challenges that we all face in our industry.
Wow, that is pretty exciting. That's pretty cool. We'll have to make sure that we we'll push that out on our website too, to let people know that, or on our social media, Emma does all that to let people know that you have that position available. When you think of like the youth of today, Mike, what do you, you know, we do talk about this a lot. We have talked about, you know, manufacturing and how it's changed and it's transitioned from the dark, dirty, dangerous days, you know, to now where it is. And it's a safe, it's a clean, you know, I've been to a couple places. Your facility is a perfect example of it. It's probably cleaner in your building than it is in my kitchen floor with a dog and four children, your three children running around. I grouped my husband into that four. So, you know, it's just, we're transitioning. And so we're teaching that, but I think that's a great point. You saying that about the gamers, like, do you see, how do you see us kind of, I guess, penetrating that market of the youth and getting in there? And do you think it starts when we start at like in middle school and getting their interest then?
100% starts at middle school. High mm-hmm. school may be too late. Mm-hmm. You know, we interact with a lot of co-op schools. We've gone as low as fourth grade. We've had 150 fourth graders tour our facility. So they get a mental image of what advanced manufacturing is. And I think, you know, the environment, that plays a big part of it. When we put our addition on, I asked our team to shoot for a laboratory-like look. And my eyes were really not there yet, but we're striving for that because that's just going to attract the type of individual that appreciates that. Those are the people that we want working at Accurounds. Yeah. So it's extremely important. And one note on culture that I neglected to mention, and we talk about safety and you know, we won different safety, health and wellness awards, but safety in the physical sense, but it's also safety in the emotional sense. You know, in today's world, especially coming out of COVID, you know, we've all had some mental health challenges at certain levels, right? So making sure that you provide the environment where they have a safe emotional place to come to work is extremely important. And, you know, don't be afraid to talk about that. Don't be afraid to have one-on-ones or group sessions if you need to, because all of us in one way or another are challenged with mental health issues at certain points in our lives. And I think it's important to have that compassion, show that to your team. You know, being humble is extremely important to us and our group. And but compassion is right there with it. And you know, I try when I walk the floor, I'm not, you know, counting parts and looking at details of machines, which maybe I did a decade ago. You know, I'm looking at how's the emotional health of our team? How you doing? How was the weekend? How are the kids? What are your challenges? You know, anything we can do to help you out? Those are important conversations to have, and that's going to strengthen the fabric of your team and make them more resilient, not only at work, but at home as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So don't be surprised if you get a huge influx after this podcast gets released of people applying to come and work for you. So
we are hiring. We'd love to have you come on board. We are growing.
He did try to recruit my daughter at one of our events too. She's 20 and yeah, she's trying, but it's a little too far for us, a little bit of a haul, but you know, there's not to say she might move out on her own someday.
That's right. The offer stands.
Right. Absolutely. Well, this has been a real treat for us and we appreciate it. I'm glad you finally were able to join us and talk about this. And then, you know, maybe we'll have you back another time. We'll talk a little bit more about, you know, some other really important pressing issues. Do you see that there are things right now that are important that maybe we aren't tackling when it comes to manufacturing that's going on? Or do you think we're kind of really, we're at that forefront, we're really hitting those marks because of COVID?
I think we're hitting on a lot. I think the key for us is the promotion piece and getting the word out to attract the talent. That's really at the core. The only subset, which I mentioned early on, is supply chain issues. You know, with everything going on geopolitically in the world, there are impacts specifically on just raw materials, stainless steel and nickel-based alloys are a big concern. So, you know, those things are challenging. We'll get through that. But I think we're doing a good job, and, you know, MassMVP and others are staying at the forefront of where we need to be and hopefully attracting and developing the future workforce.
Yeah. Yep, that's what we're trying. We are trying to do that. So I actually was fortunate enough to attend a Women in Manufacturing event, and Bruce was there and he did speak. And it was the first time I was able to actually see, like, I met him in person, but to hear him speak and present. And it was really enlightening. It was really cool to listen to what he has to say. Bruce, he's a great Hamilton speaker.
I tell you, when it comes to lean, his approach, his demeanor, he's extremely humble, but so knowledgeable.
Yes.
And his post Kaizen video is pretty world renowned. They've done that in so many different languages that, you know, just making toast in a kitchen and seeing how lean tools can help you make toast in a better, more productive flow than not. So that's great. I'm glad you had the opportunity to meet him.
Yeah. Super. Yeah. He's a cool guy. I'm going to take the video and take it home and have my daughters watch it.
There you go.
Yes. I'm hoping it might help. A little bit in the house. I doubt it, but it's worth a try, right? Yeah. Oh, they'll be like, Mom, but it's just easier if I just leave everything here and you take care of it. Yeah. I know, but that's not lean.
Find out fast once they move out.
if they move out, Mike, if we're having that issue right now. So but that's, it is what it is. But yeah, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciated this. This was great. I think there's a lot of great takeaways that hopefully the audience will get from this. And I know you do a lot of tours, you do a lot of events that go on. So always you have, you know, full visibility through your website, your social media. You guys are really active on social media as well, so they can always see what's happening. You just did a really cool event with Machine Metrics. That was pretty neat. We do always get some requests sometimes from other people within the industry that say, you know, hey, we'd love to go tour somebody that's got a real, you know, we want to see lean and we want to see continuous improvement at its best. And we always say, oh, we know somebody that we probably can send you to. So I would recommend anybody go to their website and go to their social media and get connected and start following Mike.
I guess branding is important today, right? So we're focused on that and trying to get the word out about manufacturing. But Taylee, thanks so much for having me. Always fun to talk manufacturing, especially with you and the team at MassMAP. And thank you for all the great work that you guys continue to do over there. And you're a huge supporter and leading the effort when it comes to workforce development in our state. And we have a lot of great stuff going on, and hopefully it'll get even greater as the months and years progress here.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Mike. I did not pay him to say that. So everybody, it's okay. No, but we appreciate it. So yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening to the Mass MAP podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MAP manufacturing podcast, transforming manufacturing enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmap.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.